Praise him on the trumpet. They tell me. 464. Praise him on the trumpet. Ah, she's the one I know. Yes. If you want to jig about a bit, you can do this one, okay? Children gone? Are they on the way? Or? Good. Just a scripture from Ephesians. It's just one verse in chapter 5. It's part of verse 14. It says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Somebody told me about an incident in a church once where a man and wife were on the front row, and the husband fell asleep. And the minister said to his wife, "Mammy says, give your husband a nudge, wake him up." She said, "No, you come and give him a nudge, you put him to sleep." I hope I don't put you to sleep this morning. Have you ever fell asleep on a bus? It was a regular feature of my life, because in the early days I had to travel to Coventry from Birmingham. It was a bus and a train, and in turn was a train and a bus, and invariably, after a hard day's work, it was a bit of a shock to the system when you started work at the age of 15, wasn't it? It was all change, and we wasn't going to come to an end. This was for the rest of your working life now, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and catching a bus. And I can remember coming home, you know, feeling absolutely drained after a hard day's work, maybe, and sort of just, you know, just closing your eyes and nodding off. Your one greatest fear was this: have I got the stops right? You know, I've heard of many a guy who has ended up at the depot, still asleep. It never happened to me. One amusing thing did happen to me once. I remember sort of, you know, your head goes to one side a bit. And after a while, I was conscious that somebody was trying to move away. There was a woman sitting next to me and my head was on her shoulder. Well, there you go. Wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I guess one of the big wake-up calls they get in youth camps, I don't know if they still do it, in the boys' brigade and the and the scouts, etc., they even blow a trumpet, and I think they call it the reveille. And I think you can attach words to it. I think it's sort of, come to the cookhouse doors, boys, come to the cookhouse door. I think that's how it goes. That's how the refrain goes. Come to the cookhouse door, boys, come to the cookhouse door. More of that later. This little verse here, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Really, I suppose if as a title to the message this morning, it is God's wake-up call. God's wake-up call. And one of the things it says here, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Rise from the dead. You know, the Apostle Paul, in the opening chapters of his letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, refers to the Ephesians at one time as being dead in trespasses and sins. Of course, people don't like to talk about sin and transgressions and sins these days. They think it's a very old-fashioned thing. It means really going astray from God's standard. It means doing wrong. It's something that you don't have to train people to be wrong. You know, our life is full of training, isn't it? Never ends. And in the age of computers, it just seems to go on and on and on. There's always a training course trying to hone things up. But there's one thing you never receive training for. Children are expert at it. You know, when there's biscuits missing from the biscuit tin. Wasn't me. That's the immediate reply. It wasn't me. We learn to lie at a very early age. No one ever taught us how to do it. It just comes naturally. And the bad thing, and a child stamps his feet in temper. Who taught the child how to do that? They do it naturally. We've got a young 1.5-year-old in our house now. And boy, oh boy, you know, he stamps his feet. No one told him how to do this. And he's kicked a door. He's not going to do that for long, but my word. No one trains them to do this thing. It seems to be so natural. Boys and girls are naughty naturally, and that's why they need parents to straighten them out somehow. The problem is so often the parents are just as bad as they are at times, but there you go. That's how what human nature's like. It's what the Bible calls the sin principle in us. It's there. You know, the apples that they'll be picking this autumn. You know, an apple can look quite healthy, can't it? Green and solid there, and you take a bite out of it. But the worst thing you can find is half a grub in it, isn't it? Because you know you've eaten the other half. How does that grub get there? Did it sort of arrive on the side of the apple and burrow all the way through? Well, apparently, no, it didn't. In fact, that grub was there right when there's just a bud in the early spring on the apple tree, and some moth or some butterfly or some insect come and laid an egg right in the blossom there, long before the apple was formed. Of course, then the apple forms and forms around that egg that's there, which eventually becomes a grub, and eventually the grub burrows its way out, and out it emerges. Out it comes. It's been there right from the outset. You know, that's just like the sinful nature of man. It's there right from the outset. We're born with it. That's the problem. We're born in sin, the Bible says. There's a principle there. Rise from the dead, it says. Life from the dead. You know, God has a wake-up call for us. A wake-up call for us. And then it says, wake from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know, we love the sunshine, don't we? You know, it happens now and again, doesn't it? The sunshine. Where we live in Painswick, our bedroom faces due east. And we have the curtains just a yard apart, so that in the morning, sometimes, we get the full blast of the rising sun. So intense you can't read anything. It's there. But it's nice to have the sun shining on your face first thing in the morning. You know, so often in Scripture, it refers to Jesus Christ as being just like that, a bright light, like the sun. When he first started his ministry in Galilee, it says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It referring to Jesus Christ, of course. He was this world's great light. The people were walking in darkness. They saw a great light. And the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself as being the light of the world. Coming back to that little statement I referred about the reveille that you hear it on camps, and I think possibly the army uses it or did use it in the old days when people were in tents, and the trumpet would sound and it was time to get up and get washed and get down there, down to the cookhouse for your morning breakfast or whatever. Come to the cookhouse doors, boys. What's on God's menu, I wonder? We're talking about God's wake-up call this morning. What's on God's menu for each one of us? God's menu reads like this: grace, all-inclusive. You know, people go on these all-inclusive holidays, don't they? Where everything's in. You can eat as much as you like. Drink as much as you like. It's all in the price. Once you get to the hotel, it's all there. And some people just go crazy, you know. I'm not going to lose out on this opportunity. God's all-inclusive grace is on the menu. The big difference is this. There's nothing to pay. Nothing up front to pay, for Jesus Christ has paid the bill in advance by his death upon the cross. All inclusive. What is all inclusive? What is grace? What is grace? What's it do? I think if you looked at our present situation in this country and how messed up people have become, for all our wealth, all our gadgets and cars, and fine homes and carpets, and jobs and careers, and health that's better than it's ever been, really. For all that, to read the newspapers this morning and see the messed up nature of things, of people, the violence, the divorces, it seems to be going wrong. How many children have been harmed as a result of family breakups? It goes on and on, doesn't it? This grace that's on the menu. First of all, you know what we desperately need as individuals? First and foremost is God's forgiveness. For mankind has gone desperately astray from God. That's the truth of the matter. What's on the menu? God's grace. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. But there's something else. Not only does God bring forgiveness, he brings new life. He brings life. In fact, the Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins. God brings life. It says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Amazing. What does this grace, this all-inclusive grace, bring? Not just forgiveness, not just new life. But it brings about a change. It brings about a change in us. Do you know that God can bring about changes in us that we can never bring about? Sometimes we try and change ourselves and it's almost trying to pull ourselves up by our bootlaces. We can't do it. But God can. You know, the Bible says all things are possible with God and he can change our human nature. There's many a person who's had an ill temper and I've been unable to control it. And it's disrupted a family relationship. And yet God has entered into their life, and God brings about a change. A secret change, very often. Imperceptible, but God does it. You know, our God can change us. Our God can change us. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, said this: God, he says, is at work in you. Hallelujah. God is at work in us. He's bringing about changes in us. Some people make New Year's resolutions and break them the next day. But our God brings about changes that New Year's resolutions can never bring about. Our God is a transforming God. What's on the menu? Come to the cookhouse doors, boys of the Revalley Corps. What's on the menu? It's God's all-inclusive grace, his forgiveness, his eternal life, the changes that he can bring about in us. And there's something else. You know, when a person responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when a person responds to God's call and realizes they need to be forgiven and realize they need God's grace, God brings about in that person's life joy. Joy. Yes, joy. You know, there's something special about the presence of God in our lives, and it brings about joy. A happiness. Joy. Your circumstances may not change particularly, but God can give us joy. You read the New Testament and it speaks about joy and happiness in the midst of trouble. It talks about peace. Peace. Soul peace that God brings. When a person responds to the call of God, that person is never the same person again. Something is different now. Something is different. We used to sing years ago, things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. We are different. That doesn't mean we don't have problems and difficulties. I know that is true. But nevertheless, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and hear that call, you're different. You're different. What's on the menu? What's on the menu? It's the all-inclusive grace. You know, David spoke about this, King David, in Psalm 34. And he shouts out and he says, look, he says, taste and see, he says, that the Lord is good. That's what he says. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And in Isaiah, this is what God says. It's almost as if God takes the shoulders of somebody and says, hey, come on, wake up. And listen, let me read the words. It says, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight itself in the richest fare, the very grace of God. You know, God has a wake-up call. He wants to wake people for their need of grace. A grace that is all-inclusive. Now, we want to take the call of God very seriously this morning. For you know, we can ignore God's wake-up call. We can stay in our beds and say, oh, no, that's not for me. Or, give me 5 minutes more, not today, you know. If we do not respond in our lifetime to God's wake-up call, there will be a wake-up call awaiting us. There will be a wake-up call, but it will be very different. Let me read what Jesus Christ said about a wake-up call that everybody will respond to. They will have to. This is what Jesus said about this wake-up call. John chapter 5, verse 28. He says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. That's what Jesus said. He's speaking about a wake-up call. He's speaking about people who've left this life scene. They've died. They've been buried. And everybody thinks that's the end of the matter. But Jesus said this: do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. You see, there is a judgment day that God has in mind. That is obvious, you know. We have broken bread together this morning, which speaks about the death of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross? He went to the cross because there is certain judgment coming. But by going to the cross, he has made a way out, whereby a man will not be condemned. You see, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he hung there as the condemned man. He was made sin for you and I. But of course, that's God's wake-up call. And we can reject the cross. And we can say, that's not for me. That's not for me. I just want to stay in my state of slumber and just go on and enjoy my life as I see fit. How awful it is to reject God's way of salvation. How awful it is to ignore God's wake-up call. That's why it says in this scripture, wake up, it says, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. It seems to me a very urgent call that God is making to all mankind. You know, right in the middle of history, we have the cross and it shouts out a message. It shouts out a message that man needs to get right with God. It's a message that's right there in the centre. We date our calendars from the time of the cross, don't we? It was the most vital message that God has given us. Awake, awake. Of course, we can be hypnotised. These last few weeks, because little Benjamin is one and a half years old, he lives with us. And he seems to have got a mania about watching Jungle Book. We happen to have the video. We bought it second hand from the shop down the road. And even I've got gripped by this story of Jungle Book. I can sing all the songs now and Blue the Bear and, you know. But there's one little sequence in there. It's about the snake called Khan. Khan. I guess most of you've seen Jungle Book. And just pause for a while. I know it's a childish story maybe. But there's a bit of a message here. Khan the snake, he has the little man cub, Mowgli, in the branches on the tree there. And his one aim, of course, is to make little Mowgli his breakfast for that morning. But he needs to put him to sleep. And he says, man cub, go to sleep, little man cub, he says, go to sleep. And the snake rolls his eyes in a psychedelic manner. And so I sort of hypnotized him, and little Mowgli goes into this trance. But you know the story, he gets out in the end. But you know something? Isn't life like that? People are hypnotized to the true situation, from the true situation. People take the attitude with respect to God and getting right with God as well. I'm all right. I've heard people say, oh, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm all right. Or I've heard some people and they've said, I'm good enough. I've heard some people say, I pray my prayers every night. I don't need any of that. And the other hypnotic message is this. There's plenty of time to think about God. There's plenty of time. Give me 5 minutes more in my slumber. There's plenty of time. It's hypnotic. You know, we need to respond to God's wake-up call. It's the most vital decision we make. When a man becomes a Christian, it's the most important day in his life. There are important days in our life, aren't there? The day we were born, the day we go to school, the day we start work, the day we perhaps when we get married, the day when we have children. But the most vital day is when we respond to God's wake-up call. There is no greater day in our life. And we need to respond. Let me just read those words again. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Let's sing a hymn together, shall we? It's I Will Sing the Wondrous Story, and it's 278.